Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this regular meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Council. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and we will begin tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Figueroa, would you please lead us?
Would everybody please stand so we can honor our beautiful flag? Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Beal.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem McGurr.
Here.
Councilmember Baird.
Here.
Councilmember Figueroa.
Here.
Councilmember Holloway.
Here.
Item number one is schedule of future events. Ms. City Manager.
Thank you very much, Mayor Beal and members of the City Council. On Saturday, April 26th, the City of Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services will be participating in National Prescription Medication Take Back Day. The event will take place from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the City Hall parking lot. Participants will be able to safely and conveniently dispose of unwanted, unused, and expired prescription medications. We cannot accept needles or sharps, marijuana, liquids, or pressure canisters. This event is free and drop-off is anonymous. For more information, please visit the city's website or call 714-647-4133. Thank you.
Thank you. Item two is council member comments and reports. 2.1, council member comments. Anything to my left?
Yes.
Mayor
Pro
Tem.
Mayor. Amy, do you have a picture that's going to come up? Maybe not. Well, those lovely people, this picture was taken 11 years ago, and I'm just proud to announce that this last Zero Trash event in April was our 11-year anniversary. During that period of time, it's 132 months. We averaged about 300 pounds, believe it or not, of trash per month. That amounts to about 40,000 pounds of trash that is no longer in our streets, our wilderness, or our parks. Hundreds of student service hours have been fulfilled. Lots of scouts have received their badges. We have support from a lot of people, and I just want to thank RSM Cares for their support and sponsorship, and the hundreds of volunteers, including Assist Teens and National Charity League and Lion's Heart and all the organizations, the church organizations, the scouts that have come out month after month for 11 years. I never thought in a million years that 11 years ago I'd be still talking about Zero Trash, but those are some of our volunteers from 11 years ago. That was our first event, so I'm very proud of that organization. So anybody who wants to get involved with Zero Trash, there's a website, zerotrash.org. There's also a Facebook page, Zero Trash RSM, where you can contact me, and I'd be happy to help you out. We meet the first Saturday of every month at 10 a.m. right across the street in front of Sinopolis, and we just go out for 2 hours and clean up our community. I want to announce that RSM Cares has their spring food drive at Pavilions this coming Saturday from 9:30 to 4. If you have the means, please bring or from home or purchase a non-perishable item, an unopened non-perishable item. It could be spaghetti, it could be a canned food, whatever it might be, to provide for those in need here in Rancho Santa Margarita. To quote RSM Cares, every can, box, and bag of food makes a difference. Bring your energy, a smile, and a heart for helping our neighbors in need. This is one of the great events that RSM Cares does every twice a year, I think, now. But this is the spring event. Again, there's a lot of people here that live paycheck to paycheck, or they're just barely getting by, and they really depend upon the food pantry and the contributions of our community to help them out. And finally, on April 21st, RSM Cares has their art events reception at 6 o'clock here at the Bell Tower right next door. I believe this event is going to feature the artists from RSM Intermediate School. So if you have the opportunity, I've gone, I think, every time, and it's I come away thinking these people are so insanely talented. It's just incredible how talented they are. So if you really want to feel good about the younger generation, come on out to the Bell Tower on April 21st and check out the art event reception for RSM Intermediate School. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem McGurr. To my right, Councilmember Figueroa.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank our entire building and planning department here at City Hall. Recently, I've actually heard from residents who are either thinking about a home improvement project or in a current remodeling project right now. And I've heard such wonderful compliments about our staff. Some of the things I've heard was able to answer all my questions, was so, so very helpful and knowledgeable, and couldn't have been nicer. And we know any project today, and a lot of our homes are getting older, and we need to do some maintenance. Any project can be very stressful and, of course, very costly these days. So I think having a wonderful staff is more important than ever. And I know Lisa Gretschy, Derek Bingham, and Shane Perry are on the front lines with all of our residents, and everyone is singing the entire city department, planning, and building department's praises. So thank you, everybody, for your hard work. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to item 2.2, committee assignment reports. We have one tonight regarding the Orange County Fire Authority, and we are back to you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm proud to be the representative for our city on the board of directors for the Orange County Fire Authority. At our last meeting, we discussed pre-funding of capital improvement projects, specifically the purchase of helicopters in the future. We have some now, but they get old, and so one of the big issues is how we can afford to purchase more. We also reviewed the findings of CityGate Associates regarding service level assessments and standards of response coverage. And that's a lot of words that basically talk about how fast the Orange County Fire Authority and paramedics respond to an emergency throughout the County of Orange, not just here in Rancho Santa Margarita. In County of Orange, the time from the 9/11 call to the dispatch center, the recommendation is a minute and 30 seconds. So the time the call comes in until the time the report is sent out and there's a response. Orange County average is 1 minute and 10 seconds. So that's it's quite a bit below the 90th percentile recommended by CityGate. To put that into context, in March of this year, the OCFA received 18,634 9/11 calls for an average of 471 incidents per day. I mean, think about that. And they get it out. They get the responses out this quickly. It's a 1.8% increase year over year. And for last month, the dispatch, the appropriate response was 50 seconds. At the 90th percentile, 14 seconds faster than the national standard. So the OCFA continues to do a fantastic job. The good news also for Rancho Santa Margarita is that Station 45 over here on Aventura is our station, and our truck 45 will now be assigned an additional paramedic truck, and also truck 45 will now be staffed with four firefighters rather than three and upgraded from basic life support to advanced life support. So Rancho is going to see an increase in the number of firefighters that are available for emergencies and also another paramedic truck. So it's all good news for us. I'll be doing a flyover, I think probably next week, to review the burn scar left by the airport fire and to learn more about OCFA's outstanding effort to fight both the Holy Fire and the airport fire, preventative efforts, recommendations, whatnot, in the hopes that we can certainly address any future disaster as quickly as the OCFA did this last one, and I'll report back thereafter. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Brings us to item three, presentations and proclamations. 3.1 is a presentation regarding the child safety update by the Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services. And to kick off this report, I'd like to turn it over to our police chief, Dwayne Chappell, if you would kick us off.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Beal. I'd like to take the opportunity to first just be thankful and fortunate for the men and women of Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services. You know, they have such an undervalued job. They run towards danger and threats when others run away. And I'm so fortunate to lead the men and women of Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services. They're such a great team. I'm fortunate enough here tonight to have Deputy Jesse Dornbush, who is our child safety officer, also known as our school resource officer. She's going to give a great presentation tonight related to child safety. It's going to be invigorating, it's going to be enlightful, and it should open some eyes to the things that our children are facing in today's school. So our SROs, they, again, have one of the most undervalued positions. I was talking to Joe about this today. You know, when we sign up for this job, not a lot of people say, I want to be the child safety officer, right? They don't, they have other aspirations as far as law enforcement. And being a child safety officer is more than security. They have a vital, they're like a vital bridge between law enforcement, the students, and the community. And their presence prevents violence. It fosters trust. It protects the future of our schools, and it ensures a safe environment so that the students can go to school and be safe and get a great education without having to worry about other threats. So I'm very, very, very proud of Deputy Jesse Dornbush. He has about 9.5 years on with the Sheriff's Department, about 2.5 years here with the City of Rancho Santa Margarita. So without further ado, Deputy Dornbush.
Thank you, sir. So like my chief said, I'm Deputy Dornbush. Before I was a sworn law enforcement officer, I worked for our dispatch center actually for about 5 years. Figured I wanted to do something more. I'd already topped out at dispatch, so I decided to move on to law enforcement. A little bit different as my academy was a year long. It was during COVID, so that added some extra time for me. And then I went to the intake release center, and then I actually did a little bout in recruiting, so it was fun getting people to come join the Sheriff's Department. And then I came over to Rancho Santa Margarita. I grew up in South County, so I still run into a lot of people that I know. I went to Trubico's High School. I went to RSM Intermediate, so... Trying to convince them to put me in the yearbook next year. We'll see how that goes. And then being with Rancho Santa Margarita, I've had the opportunity to do a sit-along with our special victims detail, and that kind of goes into what I'm going to present on today. So there's that. So I'm going to go over just my introduction. I did that. We're going to go over just quickly the school population, and then I'm going to go into digital footprints and then sextortion, and trends of sextortion, and then just some resources for the kids that we have or parents out there. So this is the total population for 2024, which is still the school year, even though it's 2025. The numbers change here and there. Of course, students get suspended or in trouble, or they move schools, or they move out of the city. So there's about 18 schools. I did recently realize that we do have a new one in the city that's been here since, I think, about 2021. So we do have 19 now, so those numbers are a little bit different. I just haven't had a chance to get their full student population yet. So we're looking at about 9,262, just roughly, for this school year. Some of the things that we've done over, sorry, I'm getting over a cold. We've done the pumpkin giveaways, which they're donated to the elementary schools, and we go and help the kids, and they get to do a fun event during decorating the pumpkins and interacting and just going to all the different schools. Something that's coming up with Santa Margarita Catholic is, high school, sorry, is the Every 15 Minutes program. It's a great program that's actually put on by Highway Patrol and OCFA, but I also assist with that, and we actually, it's for to educate the students on drunk driving. So they do a great job of putting on an entire accident scene. We shut down a loss to pause, and they put on a full accident scene, and all the actors in it are students. And then Santa Margarita Catholic does a great job where they actually pull students before the accident every 15 minutes from class, and an obituary is read. So then the students are seeing kids being pulled from class, and then they actually take them for a little retreat. So the kids, so they're getting, like, showing that, hey, this is what happens, drunk driving kids. Just showing a little bit more. So that's a fun event that we have coming up at the end of this month. And then they also have one of their students, actually, this year is going to be speaking that she was personally impacted by a drunk driver. Her father passed away from a drunk driver, so she's going to be speaking on the actual tragic effects, and it was actually her idea to volunteer, which is super brave of her. And then we also do just officer-friendly events. We have one where RSM Christian's going to come do a tour of City Hall, I believe, next month. I have a jogathon at Cielo Vista tomorrow, so just doing little events like that. And then I'm going to go over just the power of communication and safety concerns. A big thing right now is obviously social media and their internet. And kids are finding ways around even parental controls. So a lot of we need to start with, the parents need to start speaking to their kids about social media and having parental controls. And just something I learned recently is that kids nowadays don't even use regular text messaging or Apple messages anymore. They do everything on like Snapchat and all these different gaming sites. So we're seeing when I spoke to investigators and they're dealing with kids who have been involved in some of these crimes is they're doing what's called pulling the cell phone data from the phones. They're not even having to go through text messages anymore. They don't even, the application is even used by them anymore, which I had no idea. So that was some new information for me. And then here's a video that actually that Orange County Sheriff's put out as a message to children and teens. I don't know if you have to hit play on that, sir. I don't know. Should have sound.
No real teenage girl is going to start messaging someone we don't know with things like, "You're cute, wanna chat, or trade pics?"
No real teenage girl is gonna friend request a boy we don't know on social. We were taught better than that.
And no real teenage girl is ever gonna ask for a picture of any part of you, like ever.
But I would.
Keep it real on social. Only chat with people you know in real life and never accept friend requests from strangers, even if you think they look like real girls. Never send explicit photos to anyone online. But if you mess up, and we know that happens, talk to a trusted adult. If anyone is ever demanding payment and threatening to share your photo, talk to a trusted adult immediately. If you keep it real, we can keep you safe. For more information on how to prevent sextortion, visit Stay Safe OC.
So sextortion is a way that people are asking for explicit photos. It happens to adults as well, but I feel like kids are generally a little bit more victimized just because they don't have the same understanding. And then once these people get the photos, then they ask basically for money. They'll ask for a low amount first to see how much they're able to get out of the person, and then they'll just keep asking for more. And what they generally do is they'll basically say they're going to post them online if they don't get the money, which then obviously scares the kids, and they try and do what they can. So some good rules to live by is just keep social media gaming accounts private. Don't accept friends requests from people you don't know. Just reducing screen time in general. Never send explicit photos. Always be respectful. Don't say anything online that you wouldn't say in person. And that's just generally for a digital footprint. And don't click on unsolicited or unexpected links just for safety. So these are the common applications that they're using. Instagram, it's been around for a minute. WhatsApp is a little bit more of an encrypted application. Discord is a gaming one, and that's a huge one that the kids are using on the chats. And a lot of the problem is the parents don't actually know how to put parental controls because they don't know these games themselves. Snapchat has been around for a while, but basically the messages tend to disappear. So the kids think they disappear forever, which they do not. A lot of kids are just using TikTok even as a messaging site as well. And then YouTube's always been around. It's always been an issue. So those are just the main ones that we're kind of seeing right now. Another one we're seeing is Roblox, and that's a game we're actually just had learned about as well, where kids can create their universe and join other games. And even with parental controls, there's a chat feature, and one of the investigators was just talking to me about how they had spoken to someone who they logged in pretending to be an 8-year-old boy with parental controls, and their first game they're advertised for them to join was like a bathhouse with people that weren't clothed, and this was if someone pretending to be an 8-year-old boy with parental controls, and that was still the first game that was recommended to them. So that app is one of the ones that's causing a big issue with investigations, and even around parental controls, these kids and other people are using them, and the predators are aware of these things to get around. Talking about digital footprint, just trying to get into college, applying for a job, none of this stuff is actually off of the internet. Everything stays online. There's actually a really great speaker that Sarah Catholic School had. His name is Ben Tracy. He received a high-profile job, and they actually saw a post he made while he was a teenager, and he ended up losing his entire career. So now he goes around speaking to kids and at schools, discussing internet safety, and he does these talks with the parents and for children. So he does both for the schools. So I've spoken to some of the other schools, St. John's, as well as Santa Maria Catholic. We're interested in trying to get him to come speak to their students and parents as well. And then this is just another thing. If you do mess up, just make sure the kids are knowing that they could talk to a trusted adult, the sheriff's department, teachers, counselors, anyone that they feel can assist them. And this is another video, just shows the risks of sextortion.
It's about just how easily and unknowingly teens can fall prey to online predators and become the victims of sextortion and sexual exploitation. Fox 8's Sharon Crowley is live in the newsroom with the new awareness campaign. Sharon, this is scary.
Yeah, it's very scary for every parent. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children wants parents to be aware cyber thieves are targeting their teenagers on social media apps. These criminals are so convincing and so manipulative, the teens are being taken advantage of while texting right inside their own homes.
He always had a smile on his face. He loved people and he would do anything to help his friends.
Like many parents, Pauline Stewart monitored her 17-year-old son Ryan's cell phone and social media use.
We had restrictions, so he could not download apps without our approval, and we had timer limits on it and stuff like that.
But 2 years ago, cyber predators were able to message Ryan on Google Hangout. It's an app Pauline allowed him to have for remote learning during the pandemic. Ryan thought he was communicating with a teenage girl. In fact, it was a cyber thief in another country who convinced Ryan to text an explicit selfie. Seconds later, the thief demanded money and threatened to send the compromising picture to all of Ryan's friends and family.
He begged them not to ruin his life, but they wouldn't stop.
Pauline's son took his own life just 8 hours after cyber criminals first messaged him.
I know that they scared my child completely. He was absolutely terrified, and he didn't think he had a choice.
The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children says that what happened to Ryan is happening more than ever. Complaints to the center's tip line about so-called sextortion are up more than 300% since 2021.
40, broke his shield. Hit him once. One second.
The center launched an interactive video experience called the No Escape Room. Users get messages from real-life examples.
Dinner will be ready in an hour.
Okay.
The idea is to help parents understand how aggressively cyber predators are trying to manipulate their teenagers.
We created a riveting video that allows an adult to go through and see firsthand what a child experiences when they're being extorted online.
Pauline knows this education campaign comes too late to help her son, but it hasn't stopped her from spreading Ryan's story with the hope of preventing another tragedy.
Well, cyber predators often go with a teenager from one app to another during the course of the extortion scheme, convincing them to turn over passwords to their social media accounts. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children has much more information on its website. The center also urges parents to talk to their teens and assure them they can always come to them or another trusted adult if something goes wrong online. Natasha?
Wow. All right, Sharon, thank you.
So some of the local trends, it's typically happens more in young boys being targeted. And like I said before, they usually do for financial extortion. Happens quickly within a few hours, like that video said. They'll usually start on Instagram or an app that they feel a bit more comfortable on, and then they'll move them to an app like WhatsApp, Snapchat, something that usually gets rid of messages a lot easier. And they'll use girls' nude photos that they found on the internet to send first to entice the young boys, like, okay, I got a picture, she might be real. Demand money, small amounts at first, and they keep demanding more. And then the images are rarely posted online. They will usually move on to someone who's willing to pay them. I personally haven't taken any cases or heard of any cases within the city of where they actually posted the images online. So good tips is don't pay any money. Just collect evidence, take screenshots, and then report it to police. Don't delete anything. They're often located in other countries. So. And unfortunately, I don't have any actual numbers of reports that have been taken because they usually involve juveniles, so the information is very sensitive. But I've at least taken over 40 since being in the city. And it's very difficult just to find the people who are doing this, unfortunately. Then it goes over to our special victims detail. So these are just some things that could help parents or children. The NetSmarts Kids has videos and games for kids geared towards kids to explain internet safety, so it makes it a little bit more fun for them to start maybe understanding it in their language. Thorne conducts research to monitor the trends in technologies so that it helps parents navigate social media. So it's more for parents so they can learn about the new apps and how to put parental controls on a little bit more. And like the video said, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, they help find the hidden trafficking victims. They can help with sextortion, and they help work with Take It Down, where if an image does get posted online or whatnot, they can help when they work with all the different applications to take those photos down. And that's it. Thank you.
That's a great report, Deputy Dornbush. Thank you very much. Lots of really important information. So thank you very much. Chief, you said something in your introduction that I just need to respond to when you mentioned that police officers are undervalued. It's a tough career. I just want to let you know, you're new to us, and I know you know this, but I want to say it, that not in RSM. The police are not undervalued in Rancho Santa Margarita. Safety is the number one priority of this city council and our residents, and I believe that the vast, overwhelming majority of the residents of this city have nothing but great respect and admiration for all of the brave men and women of the Orange County Sheriff's Department that serve us, keep our families and businesses safe every day. So thank you for all that all of you do. You're a great team, and we're happy that you're there for us.
Thank you, sir.
That brings us to item 3.2, which is a presentation regarding the Orange County Mosquito and Vector Control District update. And I'd like to invite forward our representative, April Josephson, to give us that report.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council Members. Thanks for inviting me to do this in person. I thought the timing was really good to bring the PIO of Vector Control to make a presentation, because we're right at the start of our new PR campaign. And in fact, most of my attendance at the last meeting was the PR committee that I'm on, and a presentation to the entire board about this year's community outreach campaign. And we also have California Mosquito Awareness Week coming up later this month. So I don't really have much else to report. I just thought it would be great to have a presentation from them directly. So Brian Bannon, our PIO.
Wonderful. Good evening, Brian. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, council members. Thank you, Ms. Josephson. So, California Mosquito Week begins on Sunday, and when they planned this thing, they planned it right, because every time it comes around is right when mosquito season is starting. And I don't know if you noticed, it's been getting warmer. Mosquitoes are warm-blooded animals. The warmer it gets, the quicker they reproduce, the more they like to bite us. So so here we go. So our mission at Orange County Mosquito and Vector Control District is to educate and protect the good people of Orange County from vectors and prevent vector-borne diseases in an environmentally responsible manner. So that first little booger right there is a mosquito. It's the most dangerous animal in the world. It kills more human beings than any other animal on Earth. They've been around since the dinosaurs. We know what happened to the dinosaurs. I think the mosquitoes did it. I seriously do. Next little guy right there, that's a red imported fire ant. They don't spread disease, but if you get stung by them, you will probably wish you had a disease instead. If you see a mound in a yard, in a golf course, and the dirt looks like coffee grounds, and there's a bunch of these little guys running around with, they're kind of different sizes, red with a black tail, don't kick it over. Don't pour water in it. Just call us. We'll come out and we'll take care of it. Rats and other rodents, they are out there. They are out there in the wild. What you can do to keep them away is don't give them food, water, or harborage. Harborage means a place to live. And I know that everyone here in RSM keeps their yards nice and clean. People who don't, those are rat motels. Next up, we have ticks. Ticks can spread fleas. Fleas, that's a flea, can spread flea-borne typhus. So we don't want that. nice people who feed feral cats can take the chance of getting flea-borne typhus. Ticks can spread Rocky Mountain spotted fever and a couple other things. Best thing you can do on that is just stay on the trail. We had a bloom of poppies a few years ago, and I saw people lying down there in the national or the state flower. And it's a good way to get a tick. If you do get bit by a tick, if you do have a tick, best way to remove it is with a pair of tweezers from the head, pull it straight out, look it up, don't burn it with a cigarette, not good. Finally, filth flies. They are not vectors per se, but they land in stuff that can spread disease, and then they can land in other stuff. All right, so what we do, we make the best chili in the world, and that is us at the Tustin Chili Cook-Off. We did win best chili for our fire ant chili, but what we also do is we work to educate the good people of Orange County, because while we are a free service and we will come to your house and for free and we will look for mosquito breeding and make sure that rats can't get inside, we can't be everywhere. So what we really try and do is let everybody know that they need to dump and drain standing water. Don't let it stand for more than a week. Just dump it out, and that'll help it go away. We also have a full lab, and we have mosquito traps set up in a grid system all throughout the county. We monitor the abundance of mosquitoes and check them for the presence of disease. And we sneak around in Home Depot with flashlights sometimes, looking at bromeliads, because bromeliads, those leaves right there, they can hold water. That water can sit for a week, and you can have mosquitoes. Now, how much water do they need? Oh, I'll ask you that question in a couple more slides. So this is the 80s mosquito. You probably know it as the ankle biter. About 15 years ago, we were calling it invasive. Well, it has invaded, and it has made Orange County its home. This mosquito can spread disease. It can spread one of the diseases that we're most concerned about, which is dengue. It's also known as breakbone fever. Feels like your bones are breaking. If you travel to South America, Central America, the Caribbean, you may be in a place that has dengue. You can get bit, bring it home, get sick. That's called travel-related cases. We've had about 16 of those in the past few years. What we don't want is a local transmission case, which is where you come home, and then a mosquito bites you, and then bites somebody else, or somebody else, then another mosquito bites those people. That's a bad day. That has happened in LA County, has happened in San Bernardino County, and has happened in San Diego County, so all around us. We really hope that that doesn't happen. So if you are traveling, check if there is dengue present. If it is, you want to take some repellent. You want to sleep either in an air-conditioned room or with mosquito netting. You don't want that. So this is the southern house mosquito. This is the mosquito that can spread West Nile virus. We had to spray a whole lot of parcels in Huntington Beach last year because of the detection of West Nile virus. This mosquito bites in the dusk and in the evening. The 80s mosquitoes will bite all day long. So this is our campaign. The idea here is that we all need to work together to fight mosquitoes. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you look like, where you live, please dump standing water, because that mosquito can very easily fly over the fence and bite me. So, or you or your friends. So help spread the word. Okay, and you can see right there, those little things wiggling around in that bottle cap are mosquito larvae. And for those 80s mosquitoes that we're so worried about, that's how much water it takes for them to breed. And if you look at the top of that plastic bottle there, that little indentation, sprinkler goes on and that water sits for a week, they can breed in there. So that's why these guys are really kind of maniacal. These are the 80s eggs. When they lay the eggs at the waterline, below the waterline, and above the waterline. And that's a little scary because those eggs can be good for, I've heard 8 months, I've heard 2 years. And when that water comes up higher, you can have 80s coming at you. These are the Culex mosquitoes. This is a underground accessible bio, manhole cover. And yeah, those are millions of mosquitoes out there that are just ready to go. We do have a special services team that will spray for those. So your neighbor has an empty pool. Well, it's not all the way empty. Some rain gets in there. How many mosquito larvae can breed in that pool? We tested one and we found 300,000 mosquito larvae in one of those pools. So we do monitor for unmaintained pools, and we do reach out to citizens to help them. Either we can treat it with some different materials, or better yet, just get it running again or keep it empty. So mosquito fish are just what it sounds like. They're fish that eat mosquitoes. We do offer these if you have a water feature, a large trough for your horses, or anything that where water is going to sit, give us a call. We'll send an inspector out, and if it is a suitable water feature, then we can give you some mosquito fish for free. These guys will just sit in there and eat mosquito larvae and whatever, and they can just reproduce right there, and they'll stay good. If you look at them, they look kind of small when they're young, but if you are a mosquito larvae, they look pretty big. So this is a new program that we're trying out here. We're going to do this in a neighborhood in Mission Viejo. It's called the sterile insect technique. What we do is we separate the male mosquitoes from the females. The males don't bite. The reason the females bite is because they want to take the protein from our blood and give that to their offspring so that they can grow up and bite us some more. What the sterile insect technique that we're using is, it's an X-ray. So once we separate those males, we take them to the TSA, give them a little extra dose of the X-ray, sterilizes them, and then our goal would be to release about 10 times more male mosquitoes than are in the wild there, and they hopefully will outcompete the non-sterile mosquitoes, resulting in like small amount of offspring, if at all. So we have some fun social media. If you want to go on OC Vector on Instagram, we have fun with it. Mr. Kelsey there was none too happy when he found out that mosquitoes can breed in the water. Can we hit the little button right there on the one on the right? This is actually one of our, these guys are our mosquito team here. Not every job is a two-man job.
It may not always be a two-man job, but we have to dump and drain together.
So yeah, we do have fun with that. All right, I want to thank you all for having me here, and I hope you do remember to dump and drain standing water wherever you find it. Thank you.
Great report, Mr. Brannon and April. Thank you so much. Appreciate all you do. All right, if I could invite the Mayor Pro Tem to join me in front of the dais for our next presentations. All right, this is item 3.3, And these are certificates of recognition to some very special students from our community. And first up today, we're going to recognize some great students from Tribuco Mesa Elementary School. And to assist us with these presentations, I'd like to invite forward Dr. Kristen Bruce and any teachers from the school that might be present. We're very pleased tonight to recognize a couple great students from Tribuco Mesa. And when I call your name, if you would, please come forward. First off, Jeffrey Compton. And secondly, I'd like to invite forward Graydon Riedler. So I'd like first to tell you a little bit about Jeffrey Compton. Jeffrey is a sixth grade student, and he's been selected for this special recognition by the staff at Tribuco Mesa Elementary School. Jeffrey has a positive outlook and a cheerful attitude every day, and he does not let his challenges get him down. Jeffrey is an accomplished dancer and has performed at the Segerstrom Center for the Arts production of The Nutcracker. This is Jeffrey's first year at Tribuco Mesa Elementary School, and he quickly became very popular, a testament not only to his resilience, but also to his attitude and personality. So Jeffrey, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of all my city council colleagues and the 50,000 people that live here in Rancho Santa Margarita, it's our honor and privilege to recognize you tonight and congratulate you on your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations. And now it's my pleasure to tell you about Graydon Riedler. Hi, Graydon. Graydon Riedler is a first grader and has been selected for this special recognition by the staff at Tribuco Mesa Elementary School. Graydon is always happy and smiling at school, is kind and inclusive to everyone. Despite physical challenges, Graydon is very independent and resilient and loves to climb, loves to camp, go on road trips with the family. Graydon is participating in Tribuco Mesa's Marathon Club and will be running the final mile of the Hogue Orange County Marathon Running Festival in May. So, Graydon, once again, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of all of my city council colleagues and all the people that live in this great city of Rancho Santa Margarita, we're so happy to recognize you tonight and congratulate you on all your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations. Would you like to say a few words?
I'm just the very proud principal of Tribuco Mesa Elementary School and just so honored to be here in the presence of all you and Jeffrey and Graydon's families. And so I'm just really proud of these two boys who just persevere every day, never let their challenges get them down, and just exude joy on a daily basis. So very proud of my boys.
Thank you so much. So don't go anywhere just yet. We're not done at all. So you've got a special certificate of recognition, each of you, from the city of Rancho Santa Margarita, but that's not all you're taking home with you tonight. You also have a special certificate of recognition from your California State Assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, who represents our city in Sacramento. You also have one from our state senator, Catherine Blakespear, and she sends her congratulations from Sacramento as well. You even have one all the way from Washington, D.C., from our Congresswoman, Young Kim. They are all very proud of you and send their congratulations to you. So congratulations on doing such a great job. Keep it up. At this point, it's an opportunity to take some photos. So why don't we do one with us right here, and then we'll do one with each child individually. If there's any family members, you're welcome to come forward and be in the pictures as well. Okay?
Beautiful face. Yes. Thank you. Oh, I'm good. I got it. Thank you.
Okay. So why don't we split up here? You come over here. We're going to do you second. So if there's any family members that want to be in the pictures with Jeffrey, please come on up and we'll be happy to take the photos for you.
Can you take it?
Of course. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Dr. Bruce, nothing yet.
Greg is going to come right here.
Anna, Jeffrey wants you in.
Next up, we would like to recognize a couple of wonderful students from Santa Margarita Catholic High School. And to help us with these presentations, I would like to invite forward Principal Sherry Wood. And any teachers from the school if they're present. Hi, Sherry. And once again, when I call your name, if you would please come forward. First up, Adeline Ahn. And our second student tonight, Gabriel Park. Please allow me to tell you a little bit about Adeline Ahn. Adeline Ahn is a 12th grade student and has been selected for this special recognition by the staff at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Adeline is one of the top students of Santa Margarita High School's Catholic High School's senior class. And Adeline is very active in Santa Margarita's school community. She has been a member of the string orchestra since her freshman year and is a varsity tennis player. Adeline Ahn is a member of Model United Nations, an academic competition which simulates sessions of the United Nations, giving students the opportunity to travel to other schools throughout Orange County and California, the United States, and even overseas to compete. Adeline is an international baccalaureate student with a, get this, 4.85 GPA. That's twice Brad and mine together. a 4.85 GPA and has achieved spring and fall first honors since her freshman year. Wow. Adeline, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of my city council colleagues and all the residents of this great city, we're so impressed by you, and it's our honor tonight to recognize and congratulate you for your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations. Now, I'd like to tell you about Gabriel Park. Gabriel is a 12th grade student and has been selected for this recognition by the staff at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Gabriel Park is one of Santa Margarita Catholic High School's top students in the senior class. He has contributed to Santa Margarita's school community in many ways. Gabriel has been a member of the string orchestra since freshman year. Gabriel is a member of Model United Nations as well. And as I just told you, that gives students the opportunity to travel anywhere in the world to simulate sessions of the United Nations and compete against really smart kids from other schools. And Gabriel is an international baccalaureate student with another outstanding GPA, 4.88 GPA. It's so impressive. So, Gabriel, as the mayor, on behalf of my city council colleagues and all the residents of this great city, we're honored and privileged to have you here tonight and to congratulate you on your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Principal, would you like to say a few words?
Just a quick special thing about Gabriel. He also performs on a regular basis as a professional magician at the Magic Castle. But I think what would be really exciting is if these two could tell you their top two choices for college, because this is where they got accepted.
UNC Chapel Hill and UCLA.
I was accepted into Harvard and Princeton.
Wow. That's very, very impressive. Congratulations to you both. You also, as I'm the younger kids earlier, you have certificates not only from the city of Rancho Santa Margarita, but from your state assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, and your state senator, Catherine Blakespear. They send their congratulations to each of you from Sacramento. And our Congresswoman, Young Kim, sends her congratulations to you all the way from Washington, D.C. Congratulations. So you're welcome to come forward and take some pictures. We'll do ourselves first, and then we could do each family separately. Would any of the family members like to get in a photo while you're here?
Yes, sir. If I want to be mayor, I'll reach out.
Now that Brad and I feel completely inadequate, we'll continue on with our agenda. That brings us to item 4, public comments. Tonight we have no e-comments, but we do have one live in-person speaker, and I'd like to invite forward Anthony Mendoza. Good evening, Anthony. Welcome.
Good evening. Hi. I came here several months ago regarding the trash issue, and that has been resolved. Something that's been kind of boiling over in my neighborhood, I live on the corner of Ganadero and Sendero. It's in the Terrace Creek Golf Course. There's like a little easement where people can walk through and get onto Antonio. Behind us is Bella Terraza, which is a condominium complex. I know the area because I lived there for 7 years before I moved to my current house, where I've been there for 22 years. There used to not be a problem with the parking, but the parking now has gotten so bad that people park there and just walk over and go over there and hang out, you know, leave their cars from Thursday to Tuesday, sometimes even worse. And then they park in front of the fire hydrants. I've talked with the police chief here. He talked to me before the meeting. I just want to know if there's anything we can do. I know that some of the streets, like by where my kids go to Santa Margarita, you can't park on a Tuesday so that they can at least clean the streets. It's gotten really bad. I've talked to all my neighbors, and I talked to them about the trash, and they kind of said, well, why don't you go find out what can be done, because it's really gotten bad. When I first moved in there 22 years ago, it wasn't this bad. People didn't park their vehicles over there. And in that neighborhood in Bella Terraza, where I used to live there, it's very restrictive to park there. You can walk over there at night, and there's plenty of parking in all their spots. You can only park there, I think, 3 nights in a month, and that's it. And then you have to go park, and they come overflow into our neighborhood. So I don't know what can be done. I just know we're frustrated. And it's particularly bad on my corner because it's a long corner where people just park there and just leave it there for sometimes weeks on end. And I feel bad calling the dispatch, police, because you have to call 72 hours. You know, if it's been there, they come and mark the wheels. And it's frustrating. You know, we're at the point of frustration in our neighborhood. So that's it.
Mr. Mendoza, I want to thank you for taking the time to be here and share the information with us. It's concerned residents such as yourself that are our eyes and ears to know what's going on and if there's an issue. You've now put it on the radar screen of the city, and the right people know about it, and they can coordinate to try and deal with it to the extent that it can be dealt with. I don't think any of us know those details, but the right people know about it, and they'll be following up.
Yeah, it's gotten to be an issue. And then they park it for the hydrant. As someone who's retiring from the fire service here in a couple of months, I get it, you know, but they park in front of the fire hydrant, you know, and it's frustrating.
Well, I know this is not your first visit to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to share this information with us. Thank you. Have a good night. All right, that concludes public comments. That brings us to item 5, the consent calendar. All matters on the consent calendar are to be approved in one motion unless a member of the city council, staff, or member of the public requests a separate action on any item. Do we need to take any special action on any items tonight?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to abstain or say that I'm abstaining from voting for 5.3, the approval of minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to, I'll take a motion to approve the entire consent calendar, and we'll just note Councilmember Barrett's abstention on that item.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. With the one abstention. Tonight we have no public hearing items, so we're now at item 7, new business. 7.1 is a proposed professional services agreement with Jacob Green and Associates, Inc. for emergency management consulting services. And Ms. Lopez, I understand you're going to give us this presentation, so good evening and welcome.
I am. Good evening, Mayor Beal and members of the council. As PIO and assistant to the city manager, I am tasked with emergency management coordination efforts. Here tonight for your consideration is a proposed professional services agreement with Jacob Green and Associates, Incorporated for emergency management consulting services. So what does the city do to prepare, prevent, respond to, and recover from emergencies? Many of you know all of the things on this list, but I'm going to go ahead and do a quick review. We do monthly Orange County Emergency Management Organization, or OCMO, meetings. So that's something I attend monthly at the county. We participate in the Emergency Management Preparedness Grant through Cal OES, and we have purchased several items of equipment, important equipment for our EOC. We provide staff training in ICS 100 and 700 through FEMA, and our staff, all city employees, part-time employees, have an option to take those courses, but we like our staff to take them at least every 3 or so years. We have our staff trained in American Red Cross care and sheltering and shelter management. We do tabletop exercises. Most recent was with the Orange County Sheriff's Department Emergency Management. We do emergency operations center training and inventory management. We participate in the Great Shakeout. We also put on, as you know, and host fire safety and prevention town hall meetings annually, and we've done that, I think, for 3 or 4 years. We participate in alert OC notification tests. Those are both monthly whole system county tests, and we do yearly with RSM subscribers in particular. As you know, we have started the Community Emergency Response, or CERT, team, and we do training and outreach with our CERT members, and we plan to do more in the coming year. And we also provide public safety information in cooperation with OCSD, OCFA, and all of our utility providers. And of course, our Director of Emergency Services determines the activation of our Emergency Operations Center at the appropriate level when necessary, following our Emergency Operations Plan, or otherwise known as EOP. So as you are aware, cities use emergency operations plans as a framework for how we respond to disasters. EOPs, which is what we call them in the emergency services world, are a comprehensive outline. They guide city emergency response and recovery. They align with OC fire and sheriff protocols. They follow the National Incident Management System, or NIMS, and they also follow the Standard Emergency Management System, which is called SEMS. And then we ensure FEMA compliance and reimbursement with our EOPs. And there's no mandated update time frame for emergency operations plans. As I mentioned, following SEMS and NIMS is crucial for cities to receive disaster preparedness funding for preparedness and response. Our EOP was established in 2002, and it was updated in 2016. For perspective, Edison's public safety power shutoff, or PSPS events, as they're commonly known as, weren't even in existence then when we did our 2016 update. An EOP, an emergency operations plan, is not a tactical plan, but it does include the following. It establishes the city's emergency response organization. It outlines how the city is going to respond to disasters. It designates authority and responsibility for response and recovery actions. It describes how the EOC functions. It outlines training for emergency workers, whether city employees, staff, contractors, or those assisting from other agencies. It addresses mutual aid with public safety partners and how we report to the county operational area with damage levels and status during a disaster. It is designed for anyone who will work in our EOC during an activation and lists organizational responsibilities and how EOC functions so we can effectively coordinate in a response. And finally, EOPs align with current standards and best practices. Our EOC was activated from September 9th through the 12th, 2024. It was the city's first full activation. We have had previous partial activations. The airport fire was our full. We partially activated for the Bond Fire in 2020, the Holy Fire in August of 18, and I believe we also did a very small activation with the Silverado Fire in 2020, and Santiago in 2007 would have been before my time. So one of the many benefits of the city's membership in the Orange County Emergency Manager Organization is that we were able to listen to a two-hour presentation a couple months ago by several OC emergency managers who assisted in LA County and spoke for almost 2 hours about lessons learned working in EOCs during the recent fires in LA County. For example, some of the things they brought up. Are staff trained? Are forms up to date? Can staff get through roadblocks? Do you have the city seal magnets on your cars? Are they in your cars? Do you have the appropriate identification tags? What is your alternate EOC if your EOC is activated and you have to move 5 times? That happened to a city in LA. Can people log on to computers? Do you have computers? Why aren't the TVs on? Do you even have TVs? And do you have access to local cable? I know that Officer Dornbush or Sheriff Dornbush mentioned the WhatsApp app as a problem for kids. Believe it or not, according to the emergency managers, at one point that was the only app that worked for communication for some of the city staffs during the recent LA fires in LA County. In our experience with our EOC activation, we kind of were taken aback when we were asked the question, do you have a B shift and who are they and are they ready to go? And also, who knows how to set up the cots? They're, I think, Vietnam War era surplus, and it was a challenge. We did well with our activation, but we have a high bar with our Safest City designation, and we know that we can do better, which is why staff is proposing this contract tonight. And the contract includes a gap analysis and update of our EOP staff, or of our EOP, I'm sorry. Staff believes that this, in conjunction with our ongoing preparedness activities, will ensure we meet and exceed the community's expectations in the event of an emergency. So we issued an RFP January 13th of this year, and we received 7 proposals. We posted it on our city website and the Orange County APA websites to get the fullest coverage and the greatest response, casting a wide net. The proposals were reviewed by planning, engineering, public works, our PIO, and emergency management, and our city manager, ultimately. And we ranked the firms, and we interviewed the top two. Jacob Green and Associates Incorporated came out number one on the interviews and scoring. His firm has extensive experience with OC operational area. OCA has worked with Jacob Green's firm and speaks highly of them. And Jacob Green and Associates Incorporated has done similar scope of work for Lake Forest, Laguna Woods, San Juan Capistrano, and San Clemente, all OC cities, some with similar contract models as us. And they performed excellently in the interview and have a tailored project plan that is meets the unique needs of our model as a contract city. So a gap analysis is a thorough analysis of the current state of the city's emergency management program. It includes a review and analysis of the city's organizational structure, municipal code, and relevant plans and policies. The program will be assessed against regional, state, and federal requirements, industry standards, and best practices. The goal is to identify critical gaps in the city's emergency preparedness programs and core program elements. The EOP update will align with current standards and best practices to ensure that the EOP is easily deployable by city staff and meets the highest standards of effectiveness and relevance. The final deliverable is developed to ensure compliance with the requirements of the California Emergency Services Act, the Incident Command System, Standardized Emergency Management, SEMS, that I spoke of earlier, and NIMS, that I also spoke of earlier. It will also meet FEMA's Comprehensive Preparedness Guide, which is the CPG 101, and the city's municipal code. So those are the two items that we have in our contract and the scope of work. And the fixed fee, the fiscal impact, is a fixed fee of $48,350. It is funded through Council's strategic fund reserves and included in the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget in non-departmental. At this time, I would like to invite up Mr. Jacob Green, who is here tonight to address any questions you may have. And I'm also here available for questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks for that report. And good evening. Welcome, Mr. Green.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the City Council, thank you so much for having us here this evening. Really appreciate the trust and the support to help continue the investment in emergency management here for the city of Rancho Santa Margarita. We are an Orange County-based company. I'm born and raised here in Orange County. I've worked with lots of different cities here in Orange County, and we're extremely excited to serve your community here right in our backyard. Our team is comprised of 35 public safety professionals, emergency management professionals. We focus exclusively on cities, counties, and special districts here in the state of California. So very excited to be here with you this evening, and thank you very much for entertaining our professional service agreement.
Thank you very much. Council colleagues, do you have any questions for Mr. Green or Ms. Lopez?
No questions.
No questions?
Thank you, Mr. Green, for being here. Real quick, in terms of what happened in L.A. With the fires and so forth, seemed like a lot of things that could have gone wrong did go wrong. The list is long. Was that something that you have been contacted with the L.A. County in terms of the, you know, how that all unfolded and lessons learned and so forth?
Yes, Council Member, thank you for the question. We were actually called in by the city of Malibu. They asked for our team to come in and support their EOC activation. So we actually got a front view of that wildfire experience and were able to provide. The phone call came in from the city manager. We were able to come in with a team to help assist and guide them and navigate them through some of the challenges that we were having. So we have a nice view of that operation, and we've been attending several regional events that have discussed some of the lessons learned and items that we'll be able to incorporate for you in your emergency operations plan update. Additionally, we'll incorporate those things that we think the city could benefit from in the gap analysis and the emergency management work plan, which we'll be providing for you, which is sort of a roadmap for how to incorporate those lessons learned and best practice into your emergency management program.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is all your company does, right? Is emergency preparations, emergency management. You're experts in this field. And so I'm glad to have this agenda item before us tonight because, as I mentioned earlier in our meeting tonight, safety's number one priority. And Ms. Lopez, in your presentation, you gave 11 or 12 examples of things that we are already doing to be as prepared for any emergency that might befall our community. But the recent wildfires demonstrate quite clearly that sometimes, you know, you don't know what you don't know until you learn the hard way. And so this is an our agenda item tonight, in my opinion, is an example, another example of the City of Rancho Santa Margarita trying to proactively do everything that we can to be as prepared for whatever emergency might befall our community. So it seems that we have the most qualified representative here on behalf of his company to help us through that tonight. So I want to thank you once again for being here and look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
And if there's no other comments, I'd entertain a motion to approve the staff's recommendation.
I'll move to approve the staff recommendation.
And I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We have no continued items tonight, so that brings us to item 9, which is public comments. This is the last opportunity tonight to address the City Council on any matter that was not listed on our agenda. I do have one speaker request card. April Josephson, welcome once again.
I thought I would take this opportunity to promote the South County Pet Expo. We've got the city's wellness partner in the animal clinics that they do with the vaccinations and microchipping and other services. Heart will be there. It's on April 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at the Lake Forest Sports Park, but we're also doing a special promotion this year where we're asking people to donate pet food. We're doing a pet food drive for RSM Cares. And we will have, for adoption, we will have dogs, cats, birds, rodents, other small animals. We're going to have some wildlife on exhibit there. Mission Viejo Animal Services will be there. OC Animal Care will be there. We have mini horses and mini cow. There's mini horses and cow therapy that they do. We're going to have dog rescues coming from as far away as Lancaster and the Inland Empire. We seem to be a hot spot. So we're going to have a really good mix of providers. We've got veterinary specialty hospitals, regular vets, emergency hospitals. We've got pet food, you name it, pet accessories. So I just wanted to mention to anybody who happens to be listening tonight that you should check out the South County Pet Expo and the RSM Cares Pet Food Pantry. Thanks.
Thanks for the important information, April. Is there any website where anybody could learn more?
Yeah, it's on adoptocpets.org, but we also have a South County Pet Expo direct Instagram account if people, and there's all kinds of information from providers. And there's also a week still if there's anyone who would like to join us with a booth. We still have 1 week left. Thank you
so much. All right, I have no other speaker request cards, so we'll move on to item 10, the city manager's report. Anything tonight, Ms. City Manager?
I have nothing this evening, thank you.
Okay, item 11 is matters presented by the mayor and council members. I have nothing. Nothing to my left, to my right? All right, well then that concludes our agenda tonight, so we're going to adjourn. The next regular meeting of the City Council will be held Wednesday, April 23rd. At 7 p.m. right here in the City Council chambers. Thank you for attending. This meeting is adjourned.